You are listening to the Amen Corner, a JCast Network podcast. For more information about other JCast Network podcasts and blogs, please visit jcastnetwork.org. For more information about the Amen Corner, please follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and all your other favorite social media.
Welcome to Season 8, Episode 24 of the Amen Corner. He's Stephen Cook.
And he's Brad Rothschild.
Episode 24. I honestly thought it was like episode 17.
because it feels like
a little herky jerky.
We're all we're not really
bollocked up.
We're not really consistent. We're consistently inconsistent.
Mm.
Where the only consistent thing is that we are traveling a lot and that we're not always available to do the podcast anymore.
How was Germany?
The trip was good. It was feels like a whirlwind of activity that has taken place on the trip and then since then. That was good. I got to see my boy Jordan, who
nice. I saw the Instagram photo.
Yeah, who's living in Berlin and
very
working.
Tall 12-year-old.
Yeah, he is a tall 12-year-old, and you know, it's just a weird thing that he is working for a member of the German Bundestag.
It's
strange. I mean, he's on a program, you know, for like 120.
His German must be kicking.
His German is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And of course, because he is who he is, he gets disturbed that like his Hebrew is getting kicked out of his head because of the, you know, the German is sort of taking over.
Right.
And, you know, one of my friends from Israel was with us. So we spoke a lot of Hebrew and Jordan was frustrated that, you know, it wasn't as easy for him to speak.
Back to Opan class.
As he would like to, yeah. But so it's interesting. There are like 120 people from around the world who are participating in this program.
Yeah.
And they all get assigned a different member of the German Bundestag to be their person. Now, you can imagine that not everybody's political leanings actually
come. I was just about to say, who gets assigned to the, you know, AfD people?
There are people on the program who do. Jordan's...
They're like real-life Nazis, dude.
They are actual Nazis. Jordan is convinced that the only reason that he wasn't given, quote-unquote, to an FTD person is because he's Jewish.
Right.
And his name is Rothschild. But he is, his member of parliament is a Christian Democrat. So he is, you know, a conservative.
From where? What part of Germany?
It's from the north, like near Denmark. So he's just like an older, like German dude who is just conservative in nature, but he's
right.
not
but
like
the
a
Nazis
maniac.
Came from the south.
Yeah.
Didn't they come
yeah.
from, right? Yeah, isn't yeah. Bavaria no. south?
Yes, but this yeah. guy is not an AfD guy. And yeah. He's not a Nazi.
He's
but
just he's a conservative.
He is a conservative who, you know, harbors conservative beliefs.
Okay.
But it's not terrible. Jordan also thinks that most of the men in the group were assigned to the center right and further right parties because I guess they may be afraid of how women would be treated.
Well, women are also more politically, just the way it shakes out, by nature,
yes.
more conservative than women.
No, men are more conservative.
Men are more conservative.
Yeah,
than women.
Yeah,
right.
That's
right,
true.
Right.
But you know, I think with this program, they're just trying to be extra careful.
Right. Yeah.
He did say that his member of the Bundestag has a photo of Otto von Bismarck on his
really?
On the wall in his office. Yes.
I guess it's like. You know, you go into places in Egypt and you see Nasser posters and stuff like that.
I feel like Nasser would be more prevalent in Egypt than like Otto von
Bismarck. Yeah, I guess you're right.
but yeah, so it was good to see him. He came with us to Weimar and, you know, when I went to the
right.
meeting of the Buchenwald Committee, he sort of tooled around the area. And then the next day we went to Buchenwald, which was the first time he had been there. And for the first time that I've ever been there.
It's a little different from going to Yankee Stadium.
A little bit. Slightly.
Yeah.
But for the first time that I was there, it was not freezing cold, which is a big deal because you're standing outside for a couple of hours during the ceremony. And I actually walked around without a coat on, which is unreal.
Do you know that anytime I've ever been in Berlin, I've only taken photos in black and white? Like, I take the photo and then I put it away, because I feel like Berlin only can be in black and white.
That's how I feel about it.
Even though it's a, like, really lovely city and I was there during great weather, et cetera, the last time I was there.
That's how I feel about Poland. I don't think Poland can be in color. It has to be in black and white, like Warsaw. Yes, it's
weird. And I've been to Frankfurt probably 1,000 times in my life, but never stepped out of the airport, so I can't give you the feel on that one.
Yeah, Frankfurt is
it's just a city, right?
Nondescript. But Berlin is cool.
I like city. Berlin a lot.
And he loves it there. He feels at home. He speaks a language. He knows people, not just from his program, but just like, we were walking on the street last Sunday night when we got back to Berlin and we were going to have dinner before leaving him. Some guy in a car pulled up and he was like, "Hey, Jordan."
Was it his like buddy Dieter?
There was some dude who we met here in New York who like lives in the, it's like crazy. Like some guy who lives in his neighborhood.
That's funny.
So, yeah, so it was good.
Good trip.
It was good. I don't know if it was funny, but like the first night I got there, I had to do a Zoom Q&A for the movie.
Yeah.
And it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, my time. And it was just like.
Yeah. I had one of those when I was in Greece.
I guess we're doing it.
Not good.
No, it was when it was.
I was like all dressed and it was, I just wanted to be in the bed that I could see from across the room.
And then the second night I was there, I had jet lag and I was up in the middle of the night, can't sleep. And I started thinking about, it was literally like I got there Wednesday and it's Thursday night. So between Thursday and Friday. And all I'm thinking is on Sunday night, I'm going to leave Jordan. I'm not going to see him again. And I just started bawling in the middle of the night. I'm just like lying there in bed. Crying because I'm like gonna leave him. It was weird.
It's gonna be me when we drop Maddie off of college.
Oh, please, you're gonna be like that for the next 4 months. And then this week, this is the Passover season, as I'm discovering. It's not just Passover anymore, it's like. I went to two different Seders this week.
We're having one tonight because I'm leaving tomorrow evening.
Right. So the Seder is not just for Passover anymore. Mm. It's the period before Passover.
Yeah.
And I went to a Seder at the City Winery. The guy who owns the City Winery has been hosting a Passover Seder. This was his 31st year doing it.
And did you get an invitation because you're a Jewish celebrity in New York City now?
You know, kind of. I got an invitation because one of my friends told the guy about the film and about Tamar.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we would love to have you guys come to the Seder and have Tamar participate by talking about, you know, Miriam's Cup. And I'm like, cool.
Right.
So we went and...
Tamar was in the city.
She came to the city.
She came to the city for this, right?
Dr. Ruth was sitting at our table.
No way. Dr. Ruth is still alive?
Let me tell you something, man.
Did she talk sex with you?
She's really kind of adamant.
I'm sure she's stupid. She must be 110 years old.
She's like 96. She's in a they literally wheeled her out. Like, she's in a wheelchair.
I mean,
like,
God bless. She wants to go to the Seder.
I know, but at the same time, like... If I'm a member of her family, I'm cutting that shit off. I'm saying like I'm sure that she wants to feel, you know, relevant still and that people care and people do care, obviously, but it was honestly too much. Like, she wasn't interacting with people. Like she can't, there's not.
That's sad.
It's a little sad.
Dr. Ruth. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Anybody else of note?
The New York City comptroller, the city comptroller, Brad Landers, was at our table. I mean, for what it's worth.
Whatever.
My personal favorite, Richard Kind. actor, he was there. That made me pretty happy. Peter Yarrow from Peter, Paul, and Mary. Yeah, it was an interesting, eclectic mix of people.
Sounds like a very eclectic mix.
And there were, you know, a few hundred people in the room. Like, you buy tickets to go to this.
Yeah.
And I saw some people who I know, like, from around the neighborhood who just, like, go to this.
And so, and Tamar talked about Miriam's Cup.
Yeah. And so that was good. And then the next night we had another Seder with all of Michelle's family who was in from Israel. Because they're going to be spending Passover at the Magic Kingdom.
It's like a big war going on.
Yeah, well,
I was surprised, actually, on my way home from Greece, how many Israelis there were. I texted you from the passport control line.
Yeah, because people want to get the fuck out of Dodge, at least for a short amount of time.
I guess. I mean, I was in Delphi, and there were no Israelis. I don't think there were any Israelis at the big meeting I was at, but I spent a day and a half in Athens.
Did you have good food?
Oh my God. It's just insane amounts of food. And it was all, every meal was great. Let's put it that way. And like every lunch and dinner, really good Greek wine. It was really nice. But I came home feeling like, oh God, I ate too much. My last day, I had lunch with my best Greek bro, who lives in Greece and who used to be the defense attaché in Washington. And, you know, the Greeks, he's like, I'll pick you up at 2:30 or 2. It was like 2 or 2:30. And we ate lunch till like 6:30. And he just kept ordering food and ordering food.
Really?
I called Lauren at 8 my time. I was like, hey, my flight was the next morning, but it wasn't early. It was like 11:30 flight. I was like, I'm getting into bed. She said, well, it's 8 o'clock your time. Why are you getting into bed? I said, because this guy's name is Taxiarchus. I call him Taxi. I was like, Taxi and I just had lunch for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm in total massive food coma. And well, I couldn't move.
That alone.
So overall, like a very solid trip. And then I'm leaving again tomorrow. Really excited to go to Saudi Arabia for Passover.
Yeah. I mean, where else would you celebrate Passover other than in Egypt?
I've sent you the picture of the dumpster. Like, so there is a like solid waste management company in Riyadh, and it's called Seder, Khidmat Seder. And it translates in English to Seder Services. And I have a picture of a dumpster where it says in English, Seder Service.
Nice. Is that waste management company run by the Saudi Tony Soprano?
I don't know. Maybe.
That would be really funny.
I know.
Although it's probably not funny because they kill a lot of people.
I'm not worried about it. Anyway.
No, you'll be fine.
I'll be fine.
You'll be fine. Okay. As long as you don't, you know, ask for matzah.
One of my friends is like, I'm bringing matzah to... He's not even Jewish. He's like, he's coming to the same, to small, yeah. It's a very small meeting. And like one of these kind of track two encounter type things. He's like, I'm totally bringing matzah. I was like, better you than me, bro.
Seriously, if you don't have to eat it, don't eat it. I'm just saying. It's funny because at this, at the Seder at City Winery, they had boxes of like designer matzah on the table.
Oh, really? It wasn't Manischewitz?
No, it wasn't. It was some other matzah with like, you know, everything bagel, you know, flavored. Like, and I look at the box. It's like not gluten-free, not kosher for Passover. I'm like, what are we doing? We're eating crackers here.
You know, so I've been traveling so much and then I've only been home like a week or so or 10 days in the last little while. And I got home from Greece and we have in one of the pantries is like there's a lower level and then a higher level. And the higher level is where like you stash like good stuff. And I was snacking and I opened up the thing and it was all matzah and Passover stuff. Like Lauren had completely stocked up. And I was like, oh man,
no good stuff.
It's all matzah in here. A few tam-tams.
which are not kosher for Passover.
But Tim Tams aren't kosher for Passover?
No, hate to tell you. Hate to burst your Jewish bubble.
I'm looking forward to the gefilte fish. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Well, you'll have it tonight when you're having your non-Seder Seder.
We're having people over. It's like a real, it's like a real official thing.
I'm telling you, it's like the Seder season. This is the last event of the Seder season before the actual Seder.
Oh, I can't. This is my last trip until we go away on vacation in June. Yes. I can't wait till Friday. I'm sick. My frequent flyer miles are killer. Absolutely killer.
Something to be said for that.
Yeah. Anyway, on to the important things.
What?
Well, Juan Soto, baby.
Dude, I gotta, whatever that guy wants, they gotta give it to him.
Yeah, I know, exactly. It turns out that I have a Juan Soto jersey.
From the Nationals?
No, from the New York Yankees.
How did you get it?
Who was number 22 before Juan Soto?
Jacoby Ellsbury?
Exactly. And Justin, my nephew, was punking me.
Oh,
and
nice.
I found a Jacoby Ellsbury jersey for like $5 and sent it to me. Because Jacoby Ellsbury was the biggest bust ever. Next to Fred Whitson.
Ed Whitson.
Ed Whitson, sorry.
And Carl Pavano. Just to be clear, though. Yes. I just want to be clear about this with you.
Be clear.
The Yankees number 22 jersey that you own.
Yes.
Does it have the name Ellsbury on it?
No, it does not.
All right. That's good.
It does not. And I would have sent it back because the Yankees do not put the names on the back of their jerseys.
It's been well documented that is the biggest pet peeve that I have in the world.
It's not my biggest pet peeve, but it is a pet peeve of mine.
This is my biggest pet peeve.
Yeah. It's so outrageous. So what's even more outrageous is when people put their own names on the back of jerseys.
Yes. Because congratulations, you're playing for the Yankees.
Right. So
you have a Juan Soto jersey.
I have a Juan Soto jersey. I was cleaning out closets yesterday.
And you found it? I was like,
wait a second. There's a Yankees jersey in the closet in the basement. I think it's Juan Soto's number.
There you go.
I ran downstairs. There it is.
Did you put it on? Did you take a picture of it and send it to your nephew?
I did take a picture of it. I will send it to you right now.
Yeah, send it to your nephew. Did you send it to him?
No, I didn't send it to him. I should.
Yeah.
But he was totally punking me when he sent me the Jacoby Ellsbury jersey.
What goes around comes around. Now you can punk him. Dude, he is.
Of course, they lost last night. But this.
Yeah, but he's a great addition to the team. And they need to pay him. They need to back up the truck to Fort Knox and just pay him whatever he wants. The guy's 25.
Right. They
He's 25 years old.
Right.
He'll make that, 12-year deal, $500 million.
Billion dollars. Give him $1 billion. Fuck it. Why not?
Whatever.
It's just money. As Nana would say, it's just money.
It's just money. One, it's not our money. Two, they can't jack up prices any more than they already have. Three.
But we went to friends of ours invited us to a Caps game. And on like a Sunday evening, and we were like, sure, let's go. Lauren and I went. It was really fun. We sat in a box, but the box didn't have food in it. And
what kind of box doesn't have food in it?
It was, it was the city councils, the DC city council, when they built the Cap One Center, the DC city council said, we need to have our own box in Cap One Center, which was then called I don't know what.
Whatever it was called.
They honored it, but it's very, very expensive to have food catered. And so they don't ever have food. So our friends got tickets from their city council person who they're friendly with. Anyway, so we went out to get food. And I think I got like a hot dog and a soda. And Lauren got chicken tenders and fries and a soda.
It was like
$57.
Jesus
Christ. I said to her, I was like, I can't believe it. This is more expensive than Colorado Ski Lodge once.
That's insane. Because
that's how much it costs for like four people at Colorado Ski Lodge.
That makes no sense. I mean, it's
and
offensive.
They gave me 10% off because I used my Cap One card to pay.
Right. That's offensive. Those prices are offensive.
Deeply crazy. Deeply crazy.
There's something wrong with that. And I was thinking about something similarly.
But we were starving.
Okay, but that's because you're a captive audience and you're starving.
Exactly.
Like when you go, and I flew out of JFK.
Yeah.
I bought a couple of protein bars in the airport, which was $11 for two of them. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
I went to, when I went to Hong Kong, my flight from DC to New York was at like 7:30 in the evening. I got there, you know, a little bit before nine. My flight, my onward flight to Hong Kong wasn't until 2 a.m. And I didn't, and like the food in the lounge is okay, but you don't want to eat that for dinner, and you don't want to eat on the plane when you get on at 2 a.m. So there's a, what's the steakhouse? The one of the famous steakhouses in New York.
There aren't many.
No, I know, but we're like
Sparks. Anyway, Bobby Vann's.
It was a Bobby Vann.
Smith and Walensky. Oh,
no, it's a Bobby Vann's.
Second try.
In,
not
in
that.
JFK in the American Airlines tunnel. And so I had the least expensive thing on the menu. It was like a turkey club sandwich. It was like $30.
Yeah.
The burger was $65. It was fucking insane.
This makes no sense. And, you know, when I flew through Heathrow, and when you go to buy stuff there, it's actually reasonably priced.
Well, that's good, because I'll be in Heathrow tomorrow.
But it's not like you don't have to do this. Right, they spend so much public money refurbishing the terminals and, you know, making it look all nice. Like, it's not private money that's doing this; it's public money.
Right, like, but meanwhile, these companies, these huge companies that own these concessions, are just. It's true, you know. I got something. I got a cup of coffee and something on right before I got on the plane in Athens, and it was totally reasonably priced. It was like what it should be.
But it makes
in America, like, you're right. How many Clif Bars did you buy?
Two. It was two, and it was almost $11. It was like round up, you know, 5 cents. And it's $11. It's like, what the fuck?
Wow.
But you know where it is also really expensive is in the Istanbul airport. For no reason. Again, no reason. The only reason is because they can get away with it. And that's why.
Well, next time I go to a Caps game or any kind of, I'm eating well beforehand.
Well, you can't bring your own food into the
stadium. No. But there's restaurants you can go to around it. But our friends, though, wanted to go early because, again, with this, there's no, the other thing with this box is there actually aren't assigned seats.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. This sounds like a bad experience.
It was really fun. We got there early. We had great seats in the box. Like the front row, it was totally awesome. But you have to treat it a little different than if you're going to another kind of box.
Yeah.
I'm
not a huge fan of the box because I feel like you're watching the TVs in there, although maybe your box didn't have a TV because it doesn't sound like it had anything.
It did have a TV, but we were right at center ice.
Yeah.
And we were sitting in the front and we were basically hanging over the mezzanine. So we had all the action in front of us. There was no need to watch the TVs.
When you're in a corporate box, though, and you're there on like some sort of event, the game
really
is sort of, but the game is sort of secondary,
right?
It's almost like you could be sitting in a hotel room, like watching a TV.
Well,
like,
we went, this is 100 million years ago. Lauren was still in school and she interned at some firm while she was at school. So one of these like international political risks, and they did some event and we went to like a Wizards game and they invited clients and Lauren was invited and I could come and whatever. And it was, the Wizards were horrible. Like they'd won like 5 games the whole season. And so everybody just kind of stood around and ate. And no one watched the game, and like you could change the channel on the TV.
Exactly, you're watching something else completely. Like I don't know. But meanwhile, the next one, also,
yes, the Yankees.
They won a playoff game, and people were going nuts. And it's like, all right, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I know. There's been so much heartbreak with New York basketball.
One game in the first round does not a championship make. I mean, let's be clear.
And even though they have a better record than Philly's favorite to win this.
The series?
The series, yeah.
That's because what's-his-name's not playing. Give me the name. Come on.
What's his name? Not Robinson. But he's been hurt like the last third of the season.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Jalen Brunson is out of his mind great.
He is.
And that trade they made midway through the season, they got the guy from the Raptors, Anunoby. I can't pronounce his name. They've lost like four games since the trade.
Julius Randle is Julius the Randle, player right. who's not playing.
Right, all right.
So they're not going to go very far into the playoffs, I don't think, but like enjoy it for...
I'm enjoying the ride. I pulled out my Knicks t-shirt.
Meanwhile, people are screaming like, you know, bring on the Celtics, bring on the Celtics. Like, dude, careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
Careful what you wish for. The Celtics are not going down.
I know you don't care. The Rangers also open up. Rangers are favored. They have most wins in the league this year.
Yeah.
But they're playing the Caps. It's a trap for them. So I'm trying not to pay it as much.
Again, it would be nice.
And the good news is I'll be away and won't really have access to anything. So that's
the first few games. You're not going to work forever. Playoffs in hockey and basketball last for 2 months.
Well, if the Knicks win while I'm gone, I may stay in Saudi Arabia because that's a sign that I shouldn't come back. Because if I come back and watch, they'll totally lose.
Unless, of course, the Yankees are not winning at the same time, and then you can come back because then you would be...
I make all my teams lose.
Well, no, but if the Yankees are not winning, the Yankees are winning and the Knicks are losing, then you would have to, you'd have to think about that. Like, what's more important to you?
I should probably come back anyway.
I don't know. I wouldn't rush to judgment on that. I should maybe consider staying.
Cool.
Yeah, they'll be happy with you there. You can set up a nice life for yourself.
Yeah.
The Jew in Saudi Arabia. Not opposed. You should consider it strongly.
So have you wandered up your neighborhood to Columbia?
No, but I was considering. I did consider it on Friday, and then I think I may go today, actually, just to take a look around and see if I could get in any fights with anybody.
There was a friend of mine sent me today's chant, or last night's chant. Al Qasim, you make us proud. Take another soldier out. We say you say how. Burn Tel Aviv to the ground. Hamas, we love you.
Really?
That's really awesome.
Burn Tel Aviv to the ground.
Yes.
Hamas, we love you. Yeah. You kind of lost me at that.
Yeah.
Right? Hamas, we love you.
Hamas, we love you. We support your rockets too. Red, black, green, and white. We support Hamas fight. It's a right to rebel. Al-Qasim, give them hell. It's right to rebel. Hamas, give them hell. Free, free Palestine. Jihadists are openly chanting for terrorism on the streets of New York. This is up in Columbia.
Wonderful. I would love for some
of these... The youth.
I would love for some of these pro-Palestinian protesters or demonstrators.
Are they pro-Palestinian or are they pro-violence?
Well, I don't know, because here's what I would love for... to hear from one of them that they believe that Israel has the right to exist.
They don't.
But not one of them?
I don't. I know Palestinians who say, look.
I'm not talking about these protesters. I'm talking about the people up at Columbia.
I don't know.
The people who have set up the tents on campus, the Jewish kids who are praying there and who are protesting alongside of them.
I think that they don't
want somebody to come out and say, I'm here to protest because I want there to be a two-state solution.
I don't think that exists. And
so I don't think it exists. So all we have are extremists is what you're saying.
I think that's right. I mean, I hate to say it, but...
Dude, that's fucking frightening.
I know. I think that that's right, though.
And then when you see like, oh, I'm an anti-Zionist Jew in support of Palestine, like, okay.
It's the end of Israel.
I understand like your virtue signaling and you want... But like, hear me out. You want your allies to see that you're standing with them. But okay, what about your family members or potential family members, because if you're Ashkenazi and you live in the United States, there's a good chance you may have some relatives living, and if you're Mizrahi and living in the United States, there's a much greater chance. So are you saying that you're okay with those people getting murdered or
that is the logical conclusion.
Out of their homes and told to go find somewhere else to live?
That is the logical conclusion of what they seem to be saying. I put it was an interesting question. Bob Good, who's a Republican member of Congress from Virginia, very, very, very far right wing, asked Manoush Shafiq, who's the president of Colombia, had there been, since October 7th, anti-Muslim and anti-Arab protests? And you know what her answer was?
I'd have to look into that.
No. She said there have been pro-Israel protests in response.
Yeah.
The implication being that if you support Israel, you're anti-Muslim and anti-Arab.
Yeah. Do you know her at all?
No. I don't know her. I think she's a science. She's a STEM person.
I think so.
Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah. That's a weird.
Although she came out obviously looking a lot better than the Penn, Harvard, and MIT.
Well, presidents. I mean,
so very, very low bar. I'll tell you, the clips that I saw, the person who came out looking the worst was Claire Shipman, the former CNN correspondent, who's on like a co-chair of the Columbia board.
Oh, I didn't see.
She didn't look good at all.
But I mean, look, the current president of Columbia had the advantage of watched the debacle that happened to her colleagues.
Yeah, but she even stepped in it by saying, well, there's been pro-Israel protests.
Look, it's hard not to step in it, but she did a much better job than the others.
She did,
I mean, she's, at least for now, it doesn't seem like her job is in jeopardy.
But what we were touching on before speaks to how this is different. There's no one out there singing give peace a chance.
No.
There's no one out there who's saying we want two states. They're saying, you know, destroy Israel. Right.
Yeah.
That's what makes this situation far, far different. And people are like, oh, well, students protested in 1968. Well, they were protesting against the Vietnam War, but they weren't. There were some who wanted the Viet Cong to win, but mostly they didn't want to go to war and they didn't understand why there was a war. And therefore they didn't want to go to war and give peace a chance. This is an entirely different situation.
And, you know, we also hear a lot of protesters who are jumping through hoops to insist that they're not anti-Semitic, right? They're only anti-Zionist. They're not, we're not
anti-Jewish. But when you call for the destruction of Israel, that's the killing of lots of Jews. So that's where the intersection is entirely 100%.
Yes,
indefensible. You can't say that I'm not an anti-Semite. I just want to destroy Israel. The other thing that happened this week,
I just want to deny Jews the right to national sovereignty.
To live, right. Yeah. The other thing that happened, the security supplemental for Israel passed $29 billion dollars, and a sizable number of Democrats voted against it, including my member of Congress, Jamie Raskin.
Jamie Raskin voted against it?
Voted against it.
Interesting.
Big synagogue goer in Bethesda, Maryland.
But
Jamie Raskin isn't really that interested in representing his constituents of which, you know, he represents most of Montgomery County, of all Montgomery County, which there are 100,000 Jewish voters who I would never claim to say all view this situation the same way. But he's more interested in burnishing his national credentials and talking to Rachel Maddow and that kind of stuff rather than being like a legislator. I get his, you know, his newsletters. It's all cooked up bullshit. He's mostly interested in his national profile. We were redistricted in here into his district. He never showed up here to this part of Montgomery County. He just figures he's going to win because he's a Democrat and we're all Democrats here.
Yeah. He's not necessarily wrong.
He's not.
Right.
He's not. So he can do whatever the fuck he wants. Anyway.
Good times.
Good times.
All right. So we're not doing this next weekend.
We're not. I'm back on Friday. Where are you?
I'm away.
What?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Portugal.
For vacay?
For a little rest and relaxation.
Where are you guys going? You didn't call me. You know, I'm the expert on Portugal, man. Have you guys been there before?
We have. We're going to be in Porto and outside of Lisbon. You know, we're going to have Jordan come and meet us there rather than go to Germany.
Is Mia coming with?
Mia's coming with. No Talia. Talia is at school, living her best life.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Hey, any chance Talia coming for Passover? That's a good one. You know what she asked me the other day? She's like, hey, how's Passover going? I'm like, it starts Monday, baby.
What was I going to say? Totally jealous.
Oh, because your life is so difficult?
I want to go to Porto again. Lauren and I had such a great trip.
You can go.
Yeah, we'll go. When the shit hits the fan.
Exactly.
I was talking to on Friday night to a very, very senior and prominent journalist who is thinking about writing a piece about where everybody says they're going to move if Trump wins. And he says to me, so Stephen, where are you going to move? I was like, no question about it, Abu Dhabi. He's like, I am totally going to call you. That's such a great answer, especially coming from you.
There we go.
I hope he does it. Anyway.
All right. So we'll be back in 2 weeks.
All right. Enjoy.
Episode 25. We're never getting to episode 33 this season. Never.
We can double up. We can do like 3 in a row.
And we could.
Just overload people with Amen Corner.
I mean, I'm sure our listener would be very happy with that.
Yeah, our one listener.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Happy Passover.
Happy Pesach. Talk to you later.